Happy trails to you until we meet again.
This is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy. Until we talk again later on WRCO Radio, we'll set up for some community conversation coming up following the news, which is next and sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games. It is currently 65 degrees at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A president and a former president squaring off on a debate stage tonight in Atlanta. What are the issues most important to those who will be watching? ABC News political director Rick Klein.
Inflation, by far the biggest. 50% of voters say that's a big factor. Immigration next on the list. Then you've got political extremism and abortion, crime, and some other issues. And this is striking. Donald Trump is seen as better handling all of the top issues, both of the biggies, inflation and immigration. Trump, a 10-point edge in trust to handle inflation, immigration, a 12-point edge. It's only when you get a little lower down that priority list into political extremism and abortion rights that you just start to see a Biden advantage.
Boeing is being sanctioned by U.S. investigators for sharing information about a federal investigation of that door plug blowout that left a gaping hole in a Boeing 737 MAX 9 jet back in January. Today could be the busiest travel day of the year from the TSA's point of view. Millions of people getting out of town on this, the start of the 4th of July holiday week. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court due to release more decisions this morning with several big cases waiting for rulings. As we hear from ABC's Terry Moran, we may have gotten an inadvertent peek at one of them when court staffers mistakenly posted a document yesterday.
The case marks the first time the justices are considering a state abortion ban since the court overturned Roe v. Wade 2 years ago. At issue, whether Idaho's ban on abortions, except when necessary to prevent death, takes precedence over the federal law guaranteeing that patients in emergency rooms get the emergency care they need, even in the rare cases when that might mean an abortion. The document reported and published by Bloomberg indicates that by a vote of 6-3, the court's majority will send the Idaho case back down to the lower courts.
That document taken down after being online for only a few minutes. Ceremonies at Yellowstone National Park to name a rare white buffalo that was born there recently. That name, Wakangli, the Lakota language meaning sacred return. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 10 o'clock Monday through Saturday and Sunday at 4 p.m. with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center pizza. Or call ahead, 649-7469, for carryouts from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
The Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been serving the Southwest Wisconsin area since 1889. We pride ourselves on doing things the right way, paying attention to even the smallest details, and assisting your family every step of the way in your time of need. I'm Mark Jelenic. I am proud the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service still represents the values that have helped us be trusted and depended on for many generations. Learn more at PrattFuneralService.com.
Sunshine at times and a high of 76, partly cloudy and pleasant, turning cloudy tonight, a low of 58, cloudy and breezy with intermittent showers and thunderstorms Friday, a high of 74, muggy with rain at times, possibly a thunderstorm on Friday night, a low of 65, Saturday mix of clouds and sun and seasonal, isolated showers possible, and comfortably cool Sunday with sunshine and 72.
Enjoy your summer even more by switching to Total by Verizon. Now you can get 50% off any unlimited data phone plan. That's one line for only $25 a month, and you keep the phone you love. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. So find a store or switch at TotalByVerizon.com. Offer ends 7/31/24. Promo subject to cancellation after 12 months. Available exclusively online and in Total by Verizon stores. Requires a compatible unlocked device and SIM. See TotalByVerizon.com for device compatibility and additional details. Taxes and fees may apply.
I've always wanted three kids. I came from a family of three kids. and I started picturing having three car seats in the back of my truck.
That's Megan, Wisconsin native, working mom of two, and lifelong conservative. Megan never thought she would get an abortion until a diagnosis late in her pregnancy changed everything.
Doctors told us our baby had no chance to survive. And because of Wisconsin's abortion ban, I would be forced to carry my baby for months, knowing he would die. It felt like a bad dream.
To get the care she needed, Megan had to leave the state. And now if senators in Washington pass a national abortion ban, families like Megan's will have nowhere to turn.
These decisions should be made privately amongst women and their families. And government should have no say in that. No senator in Washington should support a national abortion ban.
Paid for by Free and Just. Visit freeandjust.us to learn more.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Looking for an exciting career opportunity with a world leader in coated glass for residential windows and doors? Look no further than Cardinal CG. They're hiring for all shifts, including production positions, with the potential to earn up to $29 an hour. Enjoy up to 6 weeks of time off per year and start earning vacation hours on your very first day. Apply in person Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Interviews and tours are available at 1024 East Madison Street in Spring Green. Join the Cardinal CG team today and be a part of the future of residential glass innovation.
Today's specials are Country and Community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
On our morning show today from WRCO and WRCE, it is a fun show, a fun topic. We're going to talk baseball, local baseball, with local baseball legend Vern Geishert, who's here in the studio with us today. Good morning, Vern.
Good morning, Phil. Glad to be here.
Great to have you along. The subject came up with the passing of Willie Mays, and I got thinking about that. And in fact, I was talking to your wife, and she said, "Oh yeah, Vern pitched to Willie." Give us that scenario. Was that a spring training game?
Yes, it was. I was with the Angels, and we were playing in Phoenix. That's where the Giants have their spring training. And I was pitching in the game, and he hit a ball off me that was to the outfield fence like that. I mean, it was just and it looked like it was trying to burrow through the fence. And so he didn't hit a home run off me, but he got a double anyway.
He got pretty close.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Was that one of the hardest hits somebody hit you or not?
Yeah, I would say, because it wasn't very high. It was high enough to get over the field, outfielders and stuff, but it wasn't very high. It just hit it was so quick that it was it was unbelievable.
So any idea what year that would have been, Vern?
That would have been in, I think, about 69.
Okay.
Something like that. And I was with the big club in spring training with the Angels. And I did make the big leagues with the Angels, but I never from spring training. I'd always go back to AAA. And but I got to start that game, got a ball autographed by Willie Mays and Willie McCovey. McCovey was a real good hitter with the Giants, too. And so that was quite an experience.
That was. So was that common to be able to get an autograph from another player during spring training?
Well, Rick Reichert was on our team. He was from Wisconsin, played at the UW and stuff. And anyway, he was kind of like he thought he was pretty smart, pretty good. Anyway, he took the ball and went over to him and asked him if they'd sign. And yeah, they usually would.
Uh-huh.
If it wasn't an important game anyways, it was. But the Angels weren't really good at that time, and I got to pitch for them in spring training, like I said.
Uh-huh.
And I pitched against them in the in that division of the spring training was the Cubs and stuff, and the Giants and whatever. All that have spring training out in California and Arizona. And so that's how I got to pitch against them.
That's interesting. And then, you know, of course, we're Brewer fans around here, but you go back, that was a year when they were the Seattle Pilots, weren't
yes,
they?
Yes, yes. I pitched against them, too.
Did you?
Yeah. And they played, actually, I played in Seattle in 67, and that was before they were in the big leagues. And they that year with the Pilots, they played in the stadium that we played in AAA. And it was quite interesting about that because, you know, it was just like playing a home game almost that I pitched there. And I don't know if we won that game or not, but I didn't get the decision in it anyway.
Yeah, I'd heard that the Pilots Stadium wasn't like maybe up to major league standards
no,
at that point.
No. Yeah. It was a AAA park.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't near as big as like the one they have out there now. And but it was really a good place to play because out in the center field you could see Mount Rainier over in the distance, and you know it was really a kind of a cool place.
Let's go back a little bit though. We're talking about your major league career, and of course you played quite a few games to get to that level. And going back to the little league days, now you grew up in Madison, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did, and I played little league down there from about age 8 probably. And I played on the east side in Madison, and we played in at Tenney Park down there, right by the river down on East Warsh. Burr Jones Field, it was called. And the first few years that I played, we'd won the championship in our league. But then there was other leagues, obviously, in Madison, and we would play off to go to the city tournament, which would be against the west side team. And we never did it. We never made it quite that far. We got second place and so forth. And so then when I was a sophomore in high school, I think I was, in 61, the guys from Madison on that team would come and get me, and I'd go back and pitch down there. And we won the city championship then, finally. And that was 1961.
So they come and get you all the way to Richland Center yeah. and take you down to Madison.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't have a driver's license then.
Sure.
And some of the other guys on the team did have a driver's license, so they could come and get me. But that was a lot of fun, too, because they were the same guys we started out with in the Little League. And actually, when I go on farther, when I was in high school, my senior year, I got to pitch against Madison East. And they were the guys I played with in Little League were on that Madison East team. And we won 1-0. I pitched a no-hitter and struck out 14 guys. And that was about my biggest thrill of high school, yeah. was pitching against those guys.
The guys you'd grown up with.
Yeah,
then,
yeah.
So that's was that in 63 then when you were pitching for the Hornets here in Richland Center?
No, it was in 64 when I graduated.
Okay, that year.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
In 63... we had a really good team, an overall good team. And we won the conference championship, and then we won the districts and all that. And it was actually kind of funny. At that time, there was only one division. There wasn't classes or anything. And we played some teams that were kind of, they were like Blue River had a team,
mm-hmm.
Muscadet. And we played them, and we got to the final against Gale Ettrick. And I pitched again in the finals, and I pitched a no-hitter against them to go to state. So that was a kind of a good experience, too, that I got to pitch that game.
Yeah, all-size schools on the way, too,
yeah.
as you mentioned. The,
yeah.
Because I think DeSoto was in there, too,
yeah.
weren't they?
DeSoto's was in, they were in the kind of like the sectionals. Them and Gale Ettrick, and
mm-hmm.
and so it was a, anyway, it wasn't any, it wasn't like playing Muscadet or
Blue River,
Blue and River nowadays. We wouldn't have been able to play those.
Right.
But because now when we went to state a couple years ago for Richmond Center, we went to the sectionals and we played Portage.
Oh, yeah.
The first game. And the second game, second year, we played Wisconsin Dells. So they were a little higher than we would be. And but we got beat both games, unfortunately.
Too bad. The 1963 team was the team that that went to state, then,
yes,
in other words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have good recollections of some of the people on the team and, you know, some of the
We had a Monty Slapak, that's my wife's cousin, was on the team. He was a really good outfielder and catcher. And Tom Beatty caught, and Bunny Fowler, Gary Patch. And there was a bunch of seniors, Lance Myers. And that's what made the team good, I think, is that just experience of those guys kind of helped the rest of us. And we did go to state, like I said, beat Gale Electric. And then we went to state and played Madison Central. And they beat us 2-0 in the first game of the state tournament. And then they went on to the finals but got beat by Kenosha. So there again, those guys on the Central team, some of those I played against when I was playing Little League in Madison. So it wasn't all just strange guys or something. But that's the fun of playing, though. The playing in different teams is playing against different fellows. And see how good you are.
Sure. So how often did you pitch? Because now we have a pitch count.
Yeah.
But you pitched about every game, didn't you?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, when I was a junior, that 63 team, Lance Myers was on our team. He was a senior, and he pitched some. He was the main pitcher before I was. And so he pitched quite a bit, too. And when I was a senior, or that junior team, we were 17-1. And we got beat the one game by Portage and won the rest of them. And we had a pretty good team. They were, and then the next year when I was a senior, we lost those six or seven seniors we had from the year before. And we weren't quite as potent on offense. So we didn't make it to state, but we made it to the regional finals. And this little left-hander from, I think, Soldiers Grove or somewhere beat us. And it was just like the Central team, they had a left-hander that threw funny stuff, curveballs and stuff like that. And we couldn't hit him. And we couldn't hit that guy from Soldiers Grove. They beat us 1-0 in like 10 innings or something like that.
Close game.
And so we didn't have a pitch count.
No.
But there was a few games that I pitched 10 innings, but most of the time it was the regulation time. And even in pro ball, he didn't have a pitch count because I pitched 10 innings in a few games my first year of pro ball, too. So now they're a little more caring about the pitchers or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, too. You know, now a quality start in the majors is like 5 innings.
Yeah.
You know, and boy, it never used to be. You used to get at least to the 8th inning.
Yeah.
You know,
it was they had, if you had to earn an average over 2, they kind of looked at you funny in the big leagues. You know, you weren't quite ready to go. And but nowadays, they got guys with 4 and 5 ERAs, it's funny how they keep on with those guys because there's so many good players now that they have to choose from that it's just odd that they would keep with some guy, unless they paid him a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they wouldn't keep him probably.
Yeah, there's more teams and more players needed, so sometimes I think people maybe hang around the bigs longer than they would have years ago, too, for that reason.
Yeah.
So, and you played for UW-Madison back when they had baseball.
Yes, I got a full ride out of Richmond Center, but I didn't play any varsity. Freshmen couldn't play varsity ball. And after the first year, I decided to try for the draft. And that was the second year of the draft in 66. And I was drafted in the second round by the Angels in the winter draft. And so then I signed a contract. It wasn't very much, but I signed.
You always hear those horror stories about the minor leagues and what they pay. Do you recall what your weekly salary was back then?
When I was in A-ball, it was $500 a month. And but you got, you know, on road trips and stuff, you got email money and stuff, and you just had to pay for your apartment in whatever town you're in. And then, but the higher you went, yeah, close to the big leagues, then you'd get more money.
I see.
Yeah.
When you were pitching minor league ball, I know you set an ERA record
First year I pitched in Quad Cities, and I was 12-3 and had a 1.13 ERA, which still stands as the record in that league.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Had six shutouts, a no-hitter. I thought I was on the way to the big leagues right then.
On top of the world.
Yeah. And so I pitched, I was 12-3, and then I went to El Paso that same year, and was 5-3. And then the same year, I went to Seattle, and I was 1-0 there. So I was 18-6 my first year, and I thought, boy, that's some pretty good stuff. But actually, the higher you go and you pitch more, like in AA or AAA, it's the better hitters, you know, that come around and get you eventually, like Willie Mays.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. You see some of those guys on the way up, and maybe some on the way down, too, that had played in the big leagues as well, were trying to get back in there, rehabbing and things like that. So, sure. So you played the first year of single A, then did you go to double A then the next year in the Bros? Or?
No, the next year I went to triple A.
Triple A.
Because they thought I'd be a relief pitcher.
Oh,
the Angels did. So I pitched in relief that year. And then I was kind of so-so as a relief pitcher. Yeah, I have a different mentality to be a relief pitcher. And as far as, you know, being able to pitch every day or every other day or something like that. So the next year I went back to El Paso and double A. And I pitched there the whole year. I was starting, and we won the championship in that league, the Texas League, that year. And the next year, I didn't have a real good record that year. I was 10-15. And so the next year I went to spring training, I was, I was kind of had a down year. So they sent me back to double A, El Paso. And after a month or so, they called me up to triple A at Hawaii. And, we played there for the rest of the season, and I pitched real well. And I went to the big leagues that year. Surprisingly, from the year before to the big leagues, I didn't realize it so much, but it was quite a jump, you know, so double A pitcher to a big league pitcher. So I went and I pitched pretty well in the big leagues.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Yeah, every level, you know, the hitters got better. You probably couldn't take anybody off. You know, maybe some leagues, the 8 and 9 hitters, you might be able to ease up a little bit, but probably not when you got to Triple A, could you?
No, because I pitched against the Washington Senators in the big leagues, and they had a guy named Frank Howard
who was
a big hitter. And I was really careful with him, struck him out a couple times, but the guy after him hit 2 home runs off me. Because I was really concentrating on the one, and I just kind of let the other one slide, and I paid for it.
Oh, yes. Hondo, Frank Howard, he was, I think he spent some time with Milwaukee, didn't he, as a coach or manager there for a little bit?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he was their big hitter.
As far as managers and coaches, did you have some ex-big leaguers as your managers, Vern, through those years?
Not really. Most of them I had were just experienced guys.
I see.
You know, they'd been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Harry Dunlap in A-ball. He was never in the big leagues, I don't think. And, Chuck Tanner, I had him a couple years. He's the one I'd lead it to getting to the big leagues because he managed Hawaii, and I pitched real well over there. And that's when he recommended that I go to the bigs. And And he was a pretty good ball player. But then their big league manager was Lefty Phillips. I don't think he ever played in the big leagues either. But it was more experience, I think. You know, if they showed something even in the minor leagues, they didn't play well, but they knew the game and this and that, then they would go to the be able to go to the big leagues then.
Some of those old grizzled veterans, though, that that manage you know, they've been around baseball. I'm guessing you could learn a lot from those guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a let's see, what was his name? Anyway, we had our pitching coach with the Angels was Bob Lemon.
Oh, yeah.
And he pitched with Cleveland when they won, almost won the whole thing. And what was that guy's name? I can't think of his name now. But he was a funny guy. He had chew in his mouth all the time, you know.
Yeah.
But he knew his stuff.
Kind of how you'd picture that old baseball coach or manager,
yeah,
kind of thing. Did you run across some ex-Braves, too, like Warren Spahn and, you know, Lou Burdette and some of those guys?
Well, Lou Burdette, he played in AAA,
yeah,
with the Angels. And I was with the Angels at that time in Seattle. And but not Warren Spahn. He was a manager of Tulsa, I think it was. And that's when Burdette was playing with us. So they'd get together before the games and stuff and just shoot the... Anyway, they'd just talk. And that was really funny. They would be laughing and joking around and stuff. And then, actually, when I was out of high school, I played down in Milwaukee. They had a thing where the top players out of Madison area would go to Milwaukee and play the top players out of Milwaukee area. And I played at County Stadium at that time, that one game. And I got most valuable player down there, actually.
Did you really? Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, I was supposed to start the game, but the guy, our manager, Bill Fitch, I think his name was, he changed the lineup, and I pitched relief then at the end of the game. And I struck out six guys in a couple innings and stuff. And, yeah, I got pictures in here.
Yeah, you got it.
In my...
Nice scrapbook there.
In my life history.
Wow, that's quite a history, I'll tell you what.
Anyway, yeah.
That's when the Braves were still in Milwaukee, yeah, then at that time. Were,
mm-hmm. Yeah, they played the game after we played.
Sure.
And I didn't actually meet Warren Spahn, but I did Lou Burdette.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember hearing Bob Uecker talk about those two guys at one time, and he was saying that Warren and Lou Burdette, you know, they'd never pick up a ball in the winter, you know, and they'd throw it the same way the last pitch of the season as they would the first pitch of spring training, you know, and pitchers don't approach it that way anymore, Vern.
No.
They do a lot of off-season work. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why we have more injuries. I don't know. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I think that it could be a lot of rotator cuff stuff. Mm-hmm. And I never had a problem with my arm. I don't think. Anyway, I know I didn't. My back was, if my back didn't hurt after I pitched, I know I didn't follow through. And but we did a lot of running and stuff. We did a lot of work out during the season and in spring training. But at that time, they didn't do much in the off season.
So for you, it was all about the proper follow-through and everything like that that kind of saved your arm then a little bit, it sounds like.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking of that. I was just thinking of being able to throw strikes.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you follow through, you're going to throw strikes more likely. So I really wanted to do that. But you're not thinking about your motion when you're pitching either. But you just get in the habit of doing it a certain way, and then you can be successful or not.
Was there a player growing up that you idolized, Vern?
Well, back in those days, I liked the Yankees real well. And guys like Whitey Ford and Mickey Mantle, and those guys, I kind of liked them. And then later on, I liked the Cubs because I didn't like Milwaukee after they left. I didn't like the Atlanta Braves then because I thought they kind of messed over the Milwaukee.
Right.
So I kind of lost liking the Braves. But
I couldn't understand that because I was a little younger and I grew up immediately. I was a Brewer fan and people would say, well, I'm a Cub fan or I'm a Cardinal fan. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, how can you? You live in this state. But I didn't understand that, you know, the Braves had kind of left them high and dry there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But then now I'm more of a Brewers fan. But at that time, I wasn't.
Sure. And the Brewers are doing pretty well. What do you think of this year's team?
Yeah, they are. They have pretty good pitching and clutch hitting and stuff. So they might play well, or at the end of the season anyway.
Yeah.
They have to go through August, though. And they seem to have some trouble with that once
the dog days of August, right? Yeah. Well, we have lots to discuss with Vern Geischer. It's fun talking baseball from a local standpoint and the major league scene as well. We'll have more coming up here on The Morning Show in just a moment.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette from the Prescription Center. We want to thank all of our longtime friends who have put their trust in us to manage their family's health. We want to thank our increasing number of new friends who have learned just how special we treat our friends. We do realize you can go anywhere or use mail order. We want you to choose us every day. We know copays are the same for any pharmacy in town. However, we feel we provide a superior value for your dollars. If you find our prices higher, we will match prices for all medications. We check to see if any of your prescriptions have dollar off coupons from the manufacturer. These coupons actually put money back in your pocket. If your current pharmacy does not do this, give us a call. We know your time is valuable. When you call ahead, your prescriptions are ready when you stop. I guarantee you will never wait in our drive-thru. Okay, we do not have a drive-thru. The Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Hi, this is Daniel Miller. O'Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. Ever wonder what O'Cooch comes from? It comes from the O'Cooch Mountains, and we think it was put in there by Meriwether Lewis back in the 1833 Northwest Territories map. O'Cooch Mountains, right up there where Mount Tabor is in Richland County. You can go and check it out for yourself. But O'Cooch Books and Libations, named for the Native American tribe that was in the area back in the day when my family came here. O'Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center.
Are you ready to buy a house? Do you know somebody looking to buy a house? Do you not know where to start? Do you not know where to apply? Do you just have some general questions about buying a home? Hey, Jason Schultz here with USA Mortgage, the Schultz Mortgage Team, your local mortgage expert. When I say expert, I mean that because mortgage is all I do. I don't want your checking account. I don't want your car loan. I just want to help you buy a house. Whether you need an FHA loan, a VA loan for veterans, a USDA loan, or a conventional loan, contact the Schultz Mortgage Team 7 days a week, 604-5068. We do not work banker hours.
Summer is heating up at Town & Country TV and Appliance. Discover unbeatable deals on top brands like Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Amana, Maytag, Speed Queen, and Frigidaire. The Town & Country team will install your new appliances and recycle your old ones. Now with two locations to serve you. The Superstore at 2490 Highway 14 in Richland Center and the newly opened showroom at downtown Reedsburg at 206 East Main Street. For store hours and details about the incredible summer savings sale, visit townandcountryrc.com.
Landowners, your timber property is a valuable asset. Contact Meister Log and Lumber Company to help you manage that asset. Rely on Meister Log and Lumber Company to help you manage your property's timber value for now and years to come. They've been buying logs and standing timber in Southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's Forest Management staff will help you meet your timber's potential. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log and Lumber, 608-434-4413.
The Muscadine Mudcats would like to say thank you for their sponsors this year for Hometown Baseball. These sponsors include Philback Ford, Meister Cheese, Subway of Richland Center, Goplin Insurance of Richland Center, Royal Bank, Honkers and Sportsmen's, Wilkinson Auction Services, Walsh's Ace, Foggy Bottom Woodworks, and the Village of Muscadine. Again, the Mudcats would like to thank the sponsors for the 2024 season.
Richland Center baseball legend Vern Geischer, our guest here on The Morning Show today. Fun to talk a little bit of baseball. Vern, we talked a little about the 63 team, but Mr. Ted Wheelock, boy, he was quite a coach here in Richland Center for a lot of years.
He was. He was my coach from when I was a freshman. And he really, I don't know how I can say it, he treated the guys like they were individuals. You know what I mean? He wouldn't have one thing for everybody. If a guy was maybe making mistakes in one area, he could talk to them. And if another area, he could talk to them. And he was a really good coach. I enjoyed playing for him.
You played some Legion baseball as well, didn't you?
Yes. In fact, the 63 year when I went to state in high school, we had a real good Legion team. And I pitched 31 and two-thirds innings, no-hit ball, consecutive.
Wow.
And I pitched against Middleton, Sauk, Baraboo, and then Beloit. We played Beloit here, and it was kind of like a lead-up game to the state tournament in Legion ball. And I had 8 2/3 of no-hit, and then a guy hit a dinger off me. A rocket to center field. We used to have Richmond Center had a home plate back by the restrooms there at Cross Cup.
Yeah.
And that fence that runs along 14, that chain link fence towards the river, ended up down by the end of the chain link fence.
He got it all.
It was a rocket. It was almost like Willie Mays. And so anyway, that put us tied us at 1-1. And then this Jerry Kenny hit a Texas leaguer behind second base, and the outfielders ran together, and he kept running, and he got around the third, and they threw it over his head, and he scored. And so they beat us 2-1. And so that was quite a game, too. But that's what I remember most about pitching is the home runs guys hit off.
I was going to say, was that one of the furthest ones that somebody hit off you?
Oh, yeah, I would say it was a line drive, but it went real far.
Yeah.
And but there was some in pro ball that guys really hit one, too. But I don't know. It seems that I remember my mistakes more than I remember striking out somebody.
That's human nature. I think you have a list of the major league players you struck out. Could you share that with us, Vern?
Yeah, the fellow up in Elroy sent me this, and I struck out 18 guys, and I think it was 30 innings I pitched in the big leagues. And I pitched, the first game I pitched against Cleveland, and we won. I got the save or the win in that game, and they had a guy named Duke Sims and Jose Cardinal, and I struck those two guys out. And then we went to Washington, and they had Frank Howard, and they had Ken McMullen and some players like that. And I was really worried about Frank Howard. He's a big guy, I think 6'8" or something like that. Hit a lot of home runs. So I struck him out twice, but the guy that hit behind him, he hit a couple of dingers off me. And I didn't get the loss in that game, but I gave up a lot of runs. And then I pitched against Minnesota, and Tony Oliva struck out a couple times, and pitched against Oakland, and I struck out Reggie Jackson once.
No.
Yeah.
He struck out or hit a home run usually. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was quite an experience. I got to pitch, 11 games in the big leagues, and I pitched against quite a few guys that were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a Hall of Famers, but they were pretty good hitters at the time.
Oh, I recognize a lot of those names. Reggie's a Hall of Famer, and yep. I think Frank Howard, too. I think he's...
I don't know if he is.
I think he is. Yeah. Well, I have to look that one up.
Yeah.
Talk about the time that you pitched in Minnesota, though. You had a caravan from Richland Center that went up and watched you pitch in the big leagues, didn't they?
Yes, it was a group that came up on a bus. My dad was with them, and my sister, and my wife's aunt and uncle. And anyway, I talked to him before the game. I got a picture of actually talking to him in here, in my catalog. And Andy Messersmith started the game, and I came in with the bases loaded in, I don't know, the fifth inning or something like that. And they pinch hit a guy, a left-handed hitter. And I was warming up, throwing a ball around a little bit because nervous with the fans there and all. And the first pitch I threw kind of up and in a little bit, and he ducked away with the bat. And it hit the bat, went to third base for a double play.
All right.
I thought that was pretty easy.
Yeah.
But one guy hit a home run off me, Cesar Tovar. But other than that, I got him all out and got the save in that game. And
how thrilling was that in front of your family members
You
know, local residents? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that had to be something.
Yeah. A guy made a 8mm movie of it. And we had that put on disc, and now we can watch it on disc. It's only a short thing because it's only pitched a few innings, but it actually shows me. So I have proof that I played in the big leagues, not just writing.
Yeah,
but I have proof. And anyway, and then the last game I pitched in the big leagues was the last game of the year against Kansas City, and I had a no-hitter for 7 innings. And there's an article and stuff here, too, that it ended abruptly. My no-hitter, they beat me 6-2.
Oh.
So I got the loss in that game. But at least I started out well.
Yeah, you really did.
Yeah.
Wow. So then that was the last game that you played with the Angels, then?
Yes.
And then you were traded in the offseason?
To Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
For, anyways. He eventually led the American League in hitting, the guy I was traded for.
Oh, not Joe Morgan. George Foster, right?
No.
No? It was a Red, wasn't it? Red? Okay. We'll have to look that up, too.
Yeah. I have it myself. But anyway, and I went to spring training with the big club, with Cincinnati, but I didn't make the team.
Oh, I'm said it is George Foster. It was George
Foster.
No,
that was when I was traded to the Giants.
Oh, okay.
When I was... came home then.
Oh, okay.
That was 2 years later.
2 years later.
Yeah.
Well, talk about the fact that you still get autograph requests.
Oh, yeah.
You?
It's funny because I get letters and stuff from people, and sometimes it's quite a few. Or what I mean, not a million of them, but I get a couple every couple of weeks, and they send cards and stuff that they want me to sign. And I think it's a real honor for me to do that because not having really played that long, and it's been so long now since I played. It's just 50 years or something like that. And so it's kind of an honor to get those.
Yeah, that's amazing. So from all over the world then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got from Japan and...
Wow.
And mostly the United States, though, but it was... The one from Japan is really good. See, they write a little letter along with it, and they... talk about what they do, and this guy from Japan, he played Little League and stuff, and how strenuous it is over there. They make him come and work out every day. And anyway, different from here, because here used to see the ballparks filled in the summertime with guys playing workup and stuff. And anymore, you don't. You just organize ball now in the United States. And but anyway, it's really, like I say, an honor to get that stuff.
Are they the card? Because you had a card, I believe, when you were with the Reds, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was with, it was a rookie card. It was with Hal McRae and Wayne Simpson. And I get those too. I don't know how they get so many of them, but, and then some are just index cards they want signed. And some actually make little cards with designs on them and stuff of the Angels. And, want you to sign them, and it's pretty interesting, really.
Yeah, what an honor there.
Yeah, it is. Jeez.
For all those years in the big leagues, or, you know, a couple of years in the big leagues, but I think a lot of people were fans of the Reds, you know, when they started out getting really good in the 70s, and, mm-hmm. you know. And
I missed out on that.
Yeah, you just missed out on that,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Because I was traded in 71, and their big red machines were like in the mid-70s.
Sure. Yeah. And, but you probably knew some of those guys as they were building.
In spring training, I pitched to Bench and
Johnny Bench
and New Rose and mm-hmm. all those guys.
Sure.
And when I was traded to the Giants, that was for George Foster, who eventually was a home run hitter for Cincinnati. He was part of the Red Red Machine. And I missed out on that too, like I said,
mm-hmm.
having been traded. So.
But you did get to play pretty much all over the country. And how cool was it to play in Hawaii? That must have been.
Oh, that was great. We actually lived there because we lived there for 4 months. And my wife lived there more than I did because road trips would be like a week or two because they didn't want to fly guys back and forth to the mainland. So she was over there more than I was. But it was a good experience. And we played in a stadium where the Hula Bowl was played. And that the old one, and guys that hit home runs to right field because it was real close, but left field was 300 yards, the football length, and so they didn't hit so many to left field, but.
And the atmosphere. Now they always talk about like Coors Field in Denver. You know, like that's a home run because of the you know, it's a little bit lighter air or whatever the case might be. I don't know about Hawaii, if you know what it was like pitching there, but it certainly was, well, it was dry, probably.
Yeah, but like I say, the field was what it was there. A football field, you know, is long on one side and short on the other, and right field was the short side, so that's why it was a home run park. Mm-hmm. But you could hit one into the left field, and if they missed it, it'd go forever on the ground and stuff. But anyway.
Did they have a radar gun? They didn't really have those then,
no.
Did they?
Everybody asked me how hard I threw, and I said, I don't know. They didn't have a gun then. It was before that. But I threw pretty hard.
There are guys now that, in fact, the other night, Miguel for the Brewers, 101 plus, you know? Yeah. I mean, I don't know if anybody was throwing triple digits then, but I know.
Oh, yeah, they had guys that, like Bob Gibson, and in the big leagues anyway. And they had a guy in minor leagues that threw really hard, but he couldn't throw a strike. So he never made the big leagues, but they say he threw 100 anyway.
He could throw hard, yeah. Did you ever cross paths with Ryan Duren?
Not when I was playing. I'd run into him around here when he, like at the Mallards game, or even in Kaz when I first came home, they had a game where he would pitch for them and I pitched for Richmond Center in an exhibition game. But I never really knew him because he was about 10 years older than me.
Yeah. They say he can throw pretty hard, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially with his thick glasses that scare guys.
Right, right.
Throwing up on a screen now and then. Actually, I saw him pitch in the Angels ballpark. There was an All-Star game, and he was warming up beforehand, and he threw him up on the screen just to give the people a thrill. But he threw hard.
Did you ever do that, kind of throw it wild in warm-ups just to intimidate somebody?
Sometimes I did it, and I didn't mean to.
Yeah, I was going
to
say. Like, what movie is it, Bull Durham, where they hit the mascot, you know, and yeah. Throwing it all over the place? So. But, you know, during your string of strikeouts and things like that, too, did you have a particular pitch, like a strikeout pitch that you went to?
Generally around here, I had a fastball that I could throw it by most guys. And I throw a pretty good curveball, too. But in the pro ball, they could hit the fastball. So you have to change it more. And I eventually started to throw a slider, too. That was in pro ball. And that's what made me get to the big leagues. Because I had three pitches then. And the pitch that I should have had, what they have a lot now, is a changeup. Because I throw hard and then have a changeup. Then you really screw them up.
Just drop a few miles an hour, and that's all it takes then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Analytics, too, are such a part of the game now. Did you pay much attention to right-handed batters, left-handed batters, and things like that when you were playing, Vern?
Well, they didn't do it on computers so much, but they did it... The guy that was going to pitch the next day, he would keep book and on what the hitters hit in right field or left field or up or down or whatever. And so that was about the extent of it, was just the guy keeping a book.
You've got quite the scrapbook there. Anything that I didn't ask you about in terms of, you know, your playing career or things that happened, Vern?
I don't know. But I just brought these along just in case we did forget something.
Oh, sure.
But
a lot of black and white photos.
Yeah.
There's one that it really, I can share with the radio audience, but one of your welcome homes during that 63 run to state, but you got the guys in there. It looks like WRCO is doing some interviews there in the background.
Yeah, that was Mort Batty. He was a businessman here in town.
Mm-hmm. And, Mort Batty, right. Okay. You got all the box scores and the clippings and everything.
Well, my mother did that.
Your mother did that, okay.
The stuff when I was young anyway.
Your biggest fan.
And I put them in this book and the other book there afterwards because it was just kind of a scrapbook thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Can you imagine what your life would have been like without baseball? Like maybe what you would have done, Vern?
Well, I think that I just would have had a regular job around.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did afterwards anyways.
Sure.
And I had a good jobs with Zander's Creamery and Cross Plains and United Building Center and stuff from here. I worked for them for a few years.
You kept playing, though. You kept playing baseball when you...
I played until I was in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go up north. Well, actually, when I first came home, I pitched for the Richland Center team. It was the Richland County League. And we played Kaz was our big nemesis, and that Reedsburg was in it, and Muscadet, I think. And then later I pitched for the home talent team a little bit. And then I went and played for Madison. This Gene Barrett had a team from that was Anchor Savings and Loan, and we would go to the tournaments in, around NBC tournaments in Wisconsin and win that. We go to Wichita, Kansas and stuff. And then later even, I pitched for Exelon up north. It's up by Hayward. And they had a really good team. Just a little town. There was nobody in the town hardly. But they would recruit guys from around. And we went to Canada and played and Dakotas and played tournaments and stuff. And then finally... Finally, after all that, I played in Madison in the Old Timers League. And I played up in Sealy, Wisconsin. That's up by Hayward, too. And played an older than dirt tournament up there for a number of years. And so I was playing right up until I was couldn't anymore. Mm-hmm. I had something with my leg going on. And a couple of years ago, I had a stroke. And so that's actually why I gave up coaching. Because I had some health issues, and but I enjoyed coaching too. That was really fun.
Yeah, it was always good working with you when you were coaching too. We didn't talk about we've talked about is your pitching, but did you ever hit in the big leagues or not?
No, I was 0-for.
0-for.
0-for the big leagues.
Okay.
Because 9 or something like that.
The American League, you wouldn't have had to, but when you were in the National League, you probably had to grab a bat, didn't you? Or maybe as a relief pitcher, you probably didn't get too many opportunities.
Well, I think in the big, or when I was playing, there was no DH.
That's right. The DH didn't come in until 73. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did hit, and not very well. But I actually, there again, that goes back to the pitching. Because when I was in Madison and the adult league down there, I would lead the league in hitting, but I get to play pro ball and the guys throw curveballs instead of fastballs, and it's harder.
I remember watching you warm up though, like even you know in the home talent days, and I was always impressed by you hit the ball like the flick of the wrist. You know, a lot of guys, you know, you kind of made it look effortless when you were hitting too, and I don't know if that's something you picked up along the way, but so many guys tend to overswing when they're hitting.
Yeah. I learned a long time ago that you just do that. Just have a measured swing. And you see guys swing so hard, mm-hmm. and they're looking over there, and they're looking everywhere. They're looking not at the ball. They're looking up where it's going to go or whatever, where they hope it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would hit... Usually in batting practice, I would just go up there and swing to
flick
hit
the wrist, yeah.
Hit it. And but it, guys just swing too hard. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And my grandson, he hit one for playing this year. First game of the season, he hits two off the fence. Since then, he hasn't hit anything hardly because he is over swinging.
Mm.
And he swings and he's looking over there in the bat's there. I got a picture of me doing that.
Actually, Grandpa's got to coach him up here, I guess it sounds like. So that's got to be a real thrill to see your grandkids out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure to see you at the games, too, Vern. And it's been a pleasure kind of catching up with you again today here.
Yeah, it was fun trying to remember everything.
Thanks for the memories, right. The only guy I know that pitched to Willie Mays, so it's an honor to know you, Vern, really.
Thanks.
Yeah. And thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, thanks a lot, Phil.
You bet. Vern Geishert joining us here on WRCO Radio, our morning show today.
Keeping your vehicle running at its best is easy with GM Certified Service from Jones Chevrolet. From oil changes to tires to brakes and multi-point inspections, Jones Chevrolet has the expertise, technology, and convenient hours to take good care of your vehicle. For the very best GM Certified Service, make an appointment soon by calling 647-3788 or stopping at Jones Chevrolet, Highway 14 East, Richland Center, or visit JonesChev.com. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Rockwell Automation in Richland Center is more than just a company. They are a part of this community. The team is made up of coaches, board members, firefighters, and EMS. Rockwell is proud to support and serve neighbors every day, both in and out of the workplace. What they are asking from the community is, if you are a part of a nonprofit organization or 501(c) and have opportunities for Rockwell employees to partake in, please contact them as they would love to partner with your organization. The team is looking for volunteering and donation opportunities within the surrounding communities. If you would like to partner with Rockwell Automation or have any questions, please call them at 647-9400. They look forward to extending their community involvement. Rockwell Automation, ingrained in the community, dedicated to making a difference.
Can you believe the next heating season is just a few months away? Hi, this is Amanda from Meyer Oil & LP. With a busy summer season, don't forget to call and get your summer fill. Or if you're considering a new fuel provider, please call and talk with one of our friendly office staff at 608-524-3914. Call today and join the Meyer Oil & LP family.
Hi, Missy. How are you?
Oh, hey, I'm great. We just got Bug Tussle Internet installed at our house today.
Bug Tussle?
Yes, Bug Tussle. They're a Wisconsin-based internet provider that's committed to providing internet to many of our rural areas.
That's amazing.
It really is, and it's only $45 a month. Plus, they have local customer service if you need help.
Sounds perfect.
Hurry, offer ends June 30th. Details available at btussle.com. That's btussel.com. Your neighbor has Bug Tussle. You should, too.
Ready to upgrade your lawn care game? Hillsboro Equipment has unbeatable deals. Save $200 on the brand new John Deere S220 lawn tractors and a whopping $400 on the John Deere Z370R electric Z-Track zero-turn mowers. At Hillsboro Equipment, locally owned and operated, offering products that make your outdoor living easier and more enjoyable. With experience, fair prices, and friendly atmosphere, they are big enough to meet all your equipment needs, yet small enough to know you by name. Visit Hillsboro Equipment, Boston Equipment, and Slama's Lawn and Sport in Reedsburg today and take advantage of these incredible savings.
Looking for an exciting career opportunity with a world leader in coated glass for residential windows and doors? Look no further than Cardinal CG. They're hiring for all shifts, including production positions, with the potential to earn up to $29 an hour. Enjoy up to 6 weeks of time off per year and start earning vacation hours on your very first day. Apply in person Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Interviews and tours are available at 1024 East Madison Street in Spring Green. Join the Cardinal CG team today and be a part of the future of residential glass innovation.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors